Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Sectional week has arrived finally. First round games across the area tonight. And of course, it's a busy night because Indiana in action. They host Wisconsin tonight. Going to be a very busy and basketball filled Tuesday evening. And I don't know about you, but and I know that I'm deeply involved, I think is a fair way to say it, when it comes to the basketball scene here in this area. But just a different feeling when you get up this morning and the tournament has arrived. I can't imagine. I was thinking about this coming in earlier. I can't imagine the feeling today of the players in the games and the coaches in the games and those that actually get to be on that sideline, especially if you play tonight. Maybe if you got a bye and don't play till Friday, you'll tighten up a little later in the week or you'll have that nervous feeling a little later on Friday morning when you get out of bed. But what a special time in our state. I saw Tim LaGrange, the former coach at Jeffersonville, who had a great run with one of his Red Devil teams. He's now superintendent out to the west in the school that includes Southridge. And he was had a picture last night of a great gym, Huntingburg Gymnasium, with all the lights out. You could still see the court with some of the background lights and I guess the emergency lights on. And he put it's almost sacred being in here at nighttime in Indiana in a gym. And I feel that same way about Seymour, all the great memories being a kid from New Albany, growing up over the years. And of course, sectionals weren't there when I first started going to games, many years ago. It was at New Albany, as a lot of the local schools hosted sectionals in one class. But when I think of a great gym to be in sectional week, and really any time I walk in there, even if it's for a regular season game in January or a freshman game, you know, that I'm there for some reason, at any time, it just is Seymour. To me, that is postseason basketball. A lot of great memories of New Albany and Jeffersonville in that Lloyd E. Scott Gymnasium at Seymour over the years. Used to be back in the regional they would meet up, always knocking each other out there for a number of years when they had teams that could potentially get to the state finals, it seemed. And then, of course, now New Albany, Jeff, and Floyd Central all with the opportunity to meet in the regional, or the sectional, excuse me, that is also at Seymour. And we've had some great battles between those three teams at the sectional round since the four classes of basketball installed in the Hoosier State. But just a special time. Hopefully you're well aware of the high school scene and who plays who, and you've been to some games in the regular season. You support your local community. But even if you haven't, I encourage you to take time out, especially Friday, with two great semifinal games at Seymour or at a sectional really of your choosing. To spend $5-6 for a single session ticket and check it out and see what Hoosier Hysteria is all about. You know, you can watch basketball at any level, and I guess I'm specifically thinking college and high school here, but you can, most any level, you can watch basketball and enjoy it if you're a fan or pull for your team if you're a fan, but there's something different about basketball with a championship on the line, especially you watch these young high school players that are still finding their way when they reach success and win the game, especially if it's a close game and they don't know the future until the final seconds of the game or the end of the game, or you know, just seeing even defeat, as tough as that is for a young kid. Just a special time in our state. Of course, we're thankful to have a high school state tournament that still matters. You see news clips from Louisville and other places, and occasionally there'll be a great crowd for one of those big rivalry games or maybe the regional championship, but generally there's not. In a lot of states, there's not. But Indiana, Even on Tuesday night, there will be some good crowds out there. And, of course, we hope as the week goes on with two games on Friday and the semifinals and the championship games on Saturday, of course, that we have a lot of packed gymnasiums for sectional champions to be crowned in here over the next few days. I mentioned IU tonight, the Hoosiers in action, a home game, against Wisconsin. And, of course, for Indiana, they're looking to take some positive effort, some positive momentum from that realm of things, and maybe look for a victory tonight. It's a late game. They don't tip with Wisconsin until 9 o'clock. We'll have that broadcast on the Big X. And, of course, pregame coverage begins at 8 o'clock. And before that, we will be live. Zach McCright's going to be in Seymour tonight for that first game, that Jeffersonville and Jennings County game tonight. He'll have Jeffersonville and Seymour game tonight. He'll have about all that game, if not the full broadcast, before we've got to peel away and go to the IU coverage tonight. But a big one for Indiana. I don't know that this team has any hope left to be playoff or tournament eligible. I really don't. They still appear to be close. They're out of all brackets that I've seen, but they still appear to be within striking distance. But, again, they're going to have to win some of these games the rest of the way, and I think get hot in the Big Ten tournament as well if they're going to find a way to get in. Keep in mind, right now, as of today, this afternoon, they've got a losing record. So they've got to obviously get some wins. And, you know, if they could beat Wisconsin and Michigan State and get on a roll, and I don't think that's as crazy as it is, I don't think that is a crazy thing to think about because of how they've had streaks this year and who they've beat when they have played pretty well. And the fact that they've played Purdue at home very close and now Iowa on the road very close, both of those teams are ranked teams. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to think that this Indiana team could get hot and beat Wisconsin at home tonight. In fact, I think they'll beat Wisconsin at home tonight. If they play like they have the past two games, this team has been really close to a victory. They've had a couple shots not go their way. The opposing team has gotten hot, hit a couple, that Klein bounce in three. The Iowa Bohannon went nuts in the final couple minutes of regulation, and then that continued into overtime. I really think tonight's a game that they will win if they come out with that same energy level. And if that happens, they beat Michigan State once. This time it's at home. Michigan State's a little more banged up than what they were when they met the first time. Why could they not beat them again? Why could they not beat Illinois the game after that? And surely they could beat Rutgers. Wouldn't it be something if this team could win four in a row and close the regular season on a really positive note? I think you win four in a row. I don't want to say you forget about January or you forget about these slides that have happened both in January and February, but I think people, fans in general, when it comes to Coach Miller, when it comes to everything, you know, Juwan and being a senior, Romeo likely going to be one and done, and the team returning next year, I think it gives a much more positive light on everything if somehow this Indiana team could do that. And then maybe they'd have a chance to – they would, I believe, if they won those games, bump out of that first day of Big Ten play and maybe get hot and continue that streak into the Big Ten tournament. Maybe that's all wishful thinking. But that, to me, is what Indiana has to do if they're going to try to find their way to a postseason somewhere. Of course, I'm specifically talking about the NCAA tournament. But thankfully for this Indiana team, their schedule early on and some of their wins early on are really good, and it's helped this team be considered or be close to the tournament, even when a fan might feel like, gosh, we just lost seven in a row. How are we even being considered? How is our name even mentioned as a potential bubble team right now? It's because of what the Hoosiers did in the first half of the season, their scheduling, and who they played also. So IU Wisconsin tonight, we've got that broadcast after some high school basketball, the pregame coverage beginning at 8 o'clock tonight on the Big X Sports Radio right here on 1450 AM and 96.1 FM. Couple things to get to. Let's get right to the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines quickly. We'll talk about a few IU notes, a couple notes from the coaches show with Archie Miller on Monday night that we had right here on the Big X. Also, and we'll talk a little bit about the game tonight, what to expect against Wisconsin. Later in the program, our headlines, I should mention, are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Later in the program, Greg Doyle sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star, will be with me. The segment with Greg is presented by Coffee Crossing. With Greg, we're going to talk some IU basketball against Wisconsin tonight. We'll get his latest thoughts on the Hoosiers as they prepare to close out the regular season here over the next four games. We'll also talk about the start of the high school tournament. Greg's not from Indiana, but man, for a high-ranking columnist in our state that is very well-read, he's done a tremendous job following some of the great stories in high school basketball, getting to know some of the communities outside of Indianapolis, and that's because he's a basketball guy. So we'll talk about the start of the state tournament and what he maybe has learned about high school hoops here in the Hoosier State in his time living in this state, working for the Indianapolis Star now when he joins the program coming up later as well. Later in the show, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. We'll talk about the in-depth about the IU-Wisconsin matchup tonight and other things as well. That's the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Time now, quickly, for some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. IU basketball opens as a 2.5-point underdog to Wisconsin, even though the game is at home tonight. Of course, Wisconsin, I think about middle of the pack is a great way to describe where this team is at. And then you don't need to know a lot more about this team than knowing one of their best players, Ethan Happ, who is one of the best players not only in the country, but I think is possibly a candidate, a strong candidate for Big Ten Player of the Year. If he doesn't get it, he'll be there near the top when it comes to that postseason award. But a team that coming into Indiana that could definitely use a win for its own tournament resume. Not that I think Wisconsin's in danger of not getting in, but to bolster things for the Big Ten tournament coming up, a win at Assembly Hall always speaks volumes. So a big win tonight for both teams for various reasons. And last night on the coaches show with Archie Miller in Bloomington, a lot of discussion about Jerome Hunter. And in fact, a good portion of the show, really, a number of questions, a number of back and forth between Don Fisher and Coach Miller about Jerome Hunter. Just a couple things. Hunter's not practicing with the team, but he has now been able to participate in some on-court training, you know, getting back on the court a little bit, not in any sort of pickup or action with the team, but maybe some one-on-one stuff, it seems like. So hopefully, and I know he's had some pretty serious issues to overcome, hopefully he can be somebody that maybe we get news on in the offseason that is going to have the opportunity to play next season as well. But definitely someone that is getting some time on the court. He cannot practice with the team due to medication, was another note that Archie Miller mentioned last night, for a lower leg condition, which is something that we've talked about prior on this program. He now has been cleared to do basketball-related non-contact work and has done individual work the last 2 days. Obviously, he's still a redshirt for this season. No chance of him getting in any action this season, I would not think. But maybe that can be one of those summer nuggets that we get at some point over the summer, over the offseason, that he has continued his rehab work. The medication is working. He's gotten back to where he's able to do more and more and more on the court and with his physique. And maybe that we can hope for him to play next year, because I tell you, he came into Indiana with quite a reputation from his high school days, and behind Romeo Langford was really thought on paper to be the next ready guy to play in the Big Ten Conference as a freshman. What a lift he could be for the team if he's able to get back healthy and get his strength back and everything it takes to play in the conference and play the game up and down the floor, his physique and his conditioning as well. There's a lot of pieces that have to get back in line for him to get back on the level that he was. And it may take him, you know, even through next season to get back on that level. But good to hear some updates on Jerome Hunter. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill and Jeff. Hoopster is a great place to check out the IU-Wisconsin game tonight, located right off of 10th Street in Jeffersonville. Great drinks, great cold brews, great everything that you'd want, including a great food menu. Make sure you check it out. It's a really fun place to take in an IU game if you can't make it to Assembly Hall. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk IU basketball, a little Romeo, and a lot more coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back on this Tuesday program. Tuesday, always the opportunity to catch up with Greg Doyle, columnist with the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy our warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use our convenient drive-thru at Coffee Crossing. Greg, big win tonight for IU basketball, and I say that under the pretense of maybe trying to get a run together, trying to get hot late in the season, trying to find their way somehow to the NCAA tournament. But more importantly for this team that's played Purdue close at home and then Iowa tight on the road. In fact, I thought they were on their way to a win at Iowa until Jordan Bohannon just went absolutely nuts with the long ball at the end of regulation and in the overtime. But it's a team that's played really well at times, has played really hard, which is something that hasn't always happened since January. And I think they're due for a victory tonight if they can still keep that same effort up against the Badgers at home.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a shock anymore. They're going to win the game at some point. They you know, should have beat Purdue probably. Should have beat Iowa probably. You might have thought they were going to fall apart after that Minnesota game. I mean, Archie was so mad after that Minnesota game. He was so mad. Drastic changes are going to be made and all this stuff, and they hadn't responded yet. And so it seemed like they could have fallen apart instead. Archie said they had their best couple days of practice after that, and I'm always leery of anything like that. It sounds like happy coach speak, and yet they go out and played really hard against Purdue and played really hard against Iowa and maybe could have won them both against ranked teams. So they're clearly – they found something, and maybe that something is pride. I don't know what they found, but they found something and at home tonight against Wisconsin. Is there probably their last chance to pick up a nice win? You know, I don't – beating Michigan State, it's a lot to ask, and then Illinois and Rutgers don't mean a whole lot. So tonight's their last chance to get a fairly impressive win.
I tell you, maybe one of the more frustrating things about this team, in addition to their lack of pure effort, which I know can really just infuriate fans, and really it's just hard for anybody to watch, but as bad as this team has been at times, and as much as they've looked like at certain moments, I think specifically to that Minnesota game a week or week and a half, 2 weeks ago now, I can't remember, where they really just looked like they had quit. In addition to that, being frustrated from that side of things, it's a team that has beaten Michigan State. It's a team that has played really well in the non-conference season. And even during the bad stretches of losses here since the first of the year, occasionally they look great. Occasionally you think, wow, they're not really consistent maybe, but they can play with anybody if they do what they're supposed to do. And maybe that's one of the more frustrating things to fans, that as things have went in the tanks at times over the last month and a half or so, this team also has shown glimmers of hopes in some of its lowest moments, you know, that, hey, we can be a pretty good basketball team when we're all together and when we're all playing hard.
Yeah, if all of their nice wins, if they'd all happened in the non-conference, if they'd all happened before January, you just would say, well, they fell apart and never figure out what to do. But the Michigan State win, I mean, it's weird. I'm looking at their schedule right now, you know, broken down into W's and L's, and all you see is, I don't know, is that 12 or 13 L's with one W in the middle of it. And that one W is at number 6 Michigan State. I mean, it's just crazy that happened. The reason that people, with me on the radio here, but around the town here, have been talking about the NCAA tournament for so long with this team, even as it has kept losing, is that this year's what they call a soft bubble. And I guess what that means is there's just not a lot of teams. I mean, somebody bad's going to get in. I mean, somebody with a resume that you normally would say, well, you're not getting in with that resume. This year, yeah, you are. Butler right now is in the field. Butler's resume is one of their worst resumes, maybe their worst resume since the whole run started. Well, except that one year when Holtman had to replace Brandon Miller. But it's a bad year for the bubble, and which means it's a bad year for IU to go in the tank because they didn't need to win a whole lot more than they already won. Having beaten Butler, by the way, but also obviously having beaten Michigan State and having beaten Marquette, I mean, they had a shot. They had a shot at getting in, and they just kind of blew it.
Greg, if Indiana, let's play devil's advocate here for just a moment. If they were to win tonight, and hey, they beat Michigan State at Michigan State. Michigan State's a little more beat up now even than what they were then. Maybe they can beat them at home for a second time this season, winning over the Spartans. But what if they won out the regular season? That would put them at 8-12 in conference play. Right now they're one game below 500 overall. Even if they went out, they've got to have, for NCAA tournament purposes and hopes and dreams, no matter what happens, they've got to have some success in the Big Ten tournament. Isn't that right?
Yeah, if they went out, they're 17-14 going into the Big Ten. And if they went out, that means adding two more ranked scalps, Wisconsin and Michigan State. Pretty good scalps to have. If they went out, they would have certainly a quartet of wins, two against Michigan State. And I realize Michigan State's down a little bit, but still, two against Michigan State, one against Marquette, and one against Butler. And I feel like am I leaving one out? But they would have
Louisville,
right. They would have a quartet. Take out Butler and put Louisville in there. They would have a quartet of wins as impressive as almost anybody. 17-14, and if you lose in the Big Ten tournament, 17-15. I don't care how good wins you have. 17-15. I don't see it. There was a year, I remember this about 10 years ago, when Georgia got in at like 16-15. It can happen when the bubble's really soft and you've got a lot of losses, but some of your wins are really good. It can happen, and if they win now, you know, the selection committee is not supposed to consider like your last 10 anymore, which I always thought was a mistake. The last 10 is very important. Like, tell me what kind of team we're going to put in the tournament right now. I want to know if they're 8-2 or 2-8. They're not supposed to consider that, but they're human beings, and they would. And if they look at an IU team that's won the last four, two of them against ranked teams, and the bubble's as soft as everybody says it is, they'd have a shot. I'm not sitting here laughing at you saying, Matt, the ship has sailed. I mean, I don't think they can win their last four, but if they do, I don't think the ship has necessarily sailed, no.
What do you think, and I know this is probably an impossible question to answer because we don't know details. We can only watch. You can interview coaches, and you can structure questions, and only at sometimes get a certain type of reply. But what do you think would cause this team at times to play like they don't care, to play like they have no energy? There's obviously talent on the team. There's obviously talent that at times has played very well together. You look back to the non-conference season, you mentioned some of the wins they have and some of the things they were able to get done. What would cause a team to get in such a low point that they almost give up, even at a school where basketball is king, where there's celebrities everywhere they go, and where the fans generally still support them, even through these very, very bad moments?
Well, I covered North Carolina when Matt Doherty was there. It was between Guthridge and Roy Williams. Matt Doherty was the falling apart bridge, I guess, and they went, I believe, 8-20 one year, and I was covering them. And same sort of thing kind of happened with them, is that when you don't go to North Carolina to go 8-20, and you don't go to IU thinking you're going to be 13-14. I mean, you go to IU expecting something else. And I think as the losses are mounting, and of course, the effort was being questioned five or six games ago when they were still, I don't know, 12-7 or 8, but they'd lost several in a row, and it was clearly going the wrong direction, and that's when the effort started to look weird. And the only thing I can think is that when you go to a school like IU or UNC, a basketball factory, and all of a sudden you're not beating anybody, I feel like those losses, and this is not to defend them, there's never an excuse but for not trying your hardest all the time, but I feel like maybe if you're that kid on that team, it's probably a little bit harder to deal with the losing than it would be if you're, you know, at a school that might win 20 games or might lose 20 games. You never know. At IU, you're not supposed to do this. And so I think it probably gets in their head a little bit more than it would most teams.
Talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, this segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Indiana moving forward tonight, you mentioned you would not be surprised at all if the team came up with a win. What do you see as a potential outcome tonight based on how this team has played the last couple games and the energy that they've shown?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they won, but I don't look at any team that has gone 12 and, you know, 1-12, or I don't look at anybody like that and say tonight's the night you're going to win. I mean, tonight's the night you could win. Tonight's the night you had a great chance to win, a great chance to get a nice win. But Wisconsin is really well coached, and IU should be really well coached. I still think Archie Miller's really good, but IU has played at times because some of their players at times just kind of. From what I understand, they practice one way, some of the guys, and then the game starts and they just kind of do something else. It's like baffling to everybody involved. So you know, Wisconsin, you'd like to play a team that maybe has some discipline problems and you can exploit something. Well, if there are discipline problems on the court tonight, it's going to be on the home team. So I don't know. I think Ethan Happ is probably going to get somebody in foul trouble, and whether it's Davis or Morgan or maybe both. And if that happens, then it's all over.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us again. Coffee Crossing brings us Greg each Tuesday.
And I don't mean to be negative. I know it sounds negative. I suppose there are people, and I hope I'm speaking to nobody, but I suppose there are people that turn on the radio and just kind of want to hear happy stuff. And your team is 13-14, and there's nothing happy here. And if you want me to sit here and lie to you, just so you can lie to yourself the rest of the day, I can't do it for you. Sorry.
Craig Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. I do want to switch away from IU basketball here for just a couple questions. High school basketball begins tonight, and as a guy like myself that has been born and raised in the state, a lot of great memories at certain high school gyms over the years, going all the way back to childhood. So when you wake up on sectional day, the start of sectional day, first round games tonight across the state, just a different feeling. And even though you're not a Hoosier native, I have always been very respectful of the way that you take time out as a major columnist in our state, probably the most recognizable sports columnist in our state, to go to high school games, to cover the big angles, whether it's a primetime recruit that Indiana, Purdue, all the big schools are on, or whether it's a small story in Connersville, Indiana, or following Luke Brown with his Blackford team, or coming down and not just writing about Romeo Langford, but writing about the fanfare and the community and what Southern Indiana basketball is all about. You've done it many times, and my hope is that you'll continue to find those stories and make time to write about them as you do so well. So I guess my question is this, for a guy that's not from the state, but's been around basketball at all levels, even high school as well over the years, what have you found out about the state tournament, about the start of the sectional, and how important it is across the state, specifically still in certain areas, but generally across the state? What stands out to you as, I guess, maybe I won't call you an outsider, but a former outsider maybe?
Well, all these sectionals, they're all like little they are mini tournaments, and they're all a big deal. I mean, they're all a big deal. Winning sectional is a big deal in this state. Well, do we get to the state finals or do we get to this? I mean, they have this thing called semi-state, which I'd never heard of until I got here. The sections are a big deal, and we all look at them and decide which one do we wish we could be at. And there's a bunch of them we wish we could be at, but the one I'd give anything if I could be at. And maybe I'll do it. I'm already working that day, but there's a sectional at Newcastle. And it's got Newcastle, it's got Blackford, Luke Brown, but Newcastle has a kid named Luke Bumbleow who's going to Ball State. He's a great football player and basketball player. He's averaging 32 a game. And, oh, by the way, Delta's undefeated number one in the state. They're in the sectional, too. That is a power sectional. So I guess that's the biggest thing that's kind of caught me off guard, is the fact that I actually know what's going on sectional on sectional week. Because you just win, I mean, it's just starting. Like, this is when it really, it's just survive in advance, and we'll start paying attention when we get closer. No, we in this state, we pay attention right now to everything, and that's pretty fascinating.
One other point with some local emphasis here, and you actually mentioned this to me earlier, but the NFL Combine is this week, and, you know, thinking ahead, although it's about this year's draft, we'll have a local player there, much like Romeo Langford with the NBA combines and workouts that'll be forthcoming. We sure expect after the college season concludes, much like him, Rondale Moore in a couple of years could be very well going through that NFL combine process as well.
Yeah, and he won't be scrutinized like Kyler Murray's going to be scrutinized this week, but Rondale Moore's size is going to matter. So we're all going to wonder, and I suspect he'll turn pro after his junior year. You look at a guy who had a freshman year like he had, you don't think he's going to stay 4 years in college. He'll stay three and he'll go. And we're all going to wonder, are you 5'7", are you 5'8", how tall are you? So, yeah, Rondale Moore's going to have his moment in the sun and right here in Indianapolis, which is kind of fun. And, by the way, I was at the 4A girls title game Saturday night and wrote about that. It was Lawrence North versus Hamilton Southeastern. So I do make it a point to go to as many of these games as I can and to watch. I tell you what, to watch the Lawrence North girls, they lost their best player. They had one potential all-star in the preseason, and she transferred to a prep school in some other state. And they went to the state finals anyway, and to watch them crying to watch them crying when that game ended, and to see how much it mattered to those kids, that was hard to watch. So anyway, that's why we love what we do, and that's why we love basketball in the state, because it matters. It mattered. There was like 9,000 people there watching it happen. It's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg, always great stuff. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
Yep. Thanks, Matt. Bye.
Greg Doyle, always fun, starting with IU, but getting into the high school stuff. And, again, a lot of emotion from Greg, too. He takes his stuff serious, and what a blast he is to have us with us on this program. Tuesdays, it's presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget, coming in March, it'll be the fourth Coffee Crossing location here in southern Indiana. Watch out for Coffee Crossing Sellersburg, which is going to be located near Ivy Tech at the I-65 interchange, a really convenient location for you listeners that are in Sellersburg, heading out in the morning or coming back in the afternoon from work, or anyone that's out that far Charlestown Road into Sellersburg. A great new Coffee Crossing location is coming here in the spring of 2019. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back here in just a few minutes with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Mike and I will dig more into the IU-Wisconsin matchup tonight. We'll talk some other IU topics, including recruiting stuff as well. Couple new names on the radar for the Hoosiers in the 2019 class even, which has you wondering, maybe does Indiana not feel as confident about Keon Brooks coming in the 2019 class as what they maybe did a few weeks ago. So we'll talk about all of that and more coming up. And quickly, I want to go through tonight what the lineup looks like at area sectionals, starting in 4A at Seymour. I know it's hard to get to these games, especially if you're got to drive 40, 45 minutes or so on a Tuesday and your team plays at 6 o'clock. But tonight, Jeffersonville and Seymour, that's the opening game of the six-team Seymour 4A sectional, and Jennings County will take on Floyd Central later tonight. Nothing really exciting, to be quite honest, expected to happen in either of those games. I think Jeffersonville probably a little bit more leery a few years ago. Seymour knocked them out in the first round of tournament play, but the Red Devils playing well. They're trying to get things moving this week with an early game against Seymour, and same for Floyd Central and Jennings County. I expect total dominance by the Highlanders and Kobe Barnes and Jake Hydebreeder in that game tonight as they advance to, or sure we expect advance to, Friday night semifinals. And that sets up a really good Friday. I know I've said it a lot. I'll say it a lot more this week. Bedford and Jeff potentially game one on Friday. New Albany and Floyd Central should happen as game two. There will not be a better night of basketball as far as fans and great players and great storylines to follow on and off the court than what's going to happen Friday night at Seymour. Also, at Charlestown tonight, it's a seven-teamer, so there's only one Tuesday game. Charlestown will take on Brownstown tonight. Then they'll come back on Wednesday with some more first-round games. North Harrison will take on Cordon. Scottsburg will take on Salem. Of course, the storyline tonight, you've got Jason Connell, his team, the host of the sectional. They've had ups and downs this season, and they're taking on a Brownstown team that obviously is a scary team because they're the only team in the sectional to beat Silver Creek, who's the front runner there at Charlestown. And if Brownstown can get by the host Pirates tonight, that will set up a rematch between Silver Creek and Brownstown in game one on Friday night, which could be really good. Also, moving down to 2A, Crawford County, a seven-team sectional, just one game tonight. Eastern Pekin takes on Crawford County. You've got two first-round games involving a lot of Clark Floyd County teams on Wednesday. Clarksville takes on Providence Wednesday, followed by Henryville against Paoli. It's a shame Clarksville and Providence, who both have been playing well toward later in the season, have to knock each other out, or somebody going to go out in that first game on Wednesday night. But I tell you, Henryville and Paoli, Kate Badger leading Henryville, would not be surprised to see at all if the Hornets, who played Paoli tight the first time, could come up with an upset bid and open that sectional up a bit on Wednesday night as well. 1A sectionals at Borden, what a great host to postseason basketball the community of Borden is. Tuesday night, tonight, you've got New Washington against Borden, Rock Creek against South Central, and then, of course, looking on to Friday, that's when the games there could get really good. Christian Academy will take on the winner of New Washington-Borden. Lanesville could take on a rematch of South Central if they're able to get past Rock Creek tonight. That'll be a good one. And then a potential championship game, we think, of Christian Academy against either Lanesville or South Central with the 1A sectional championship on the line. So great games tonight. We'll recap all of them tomorrow, but encourage you to get out and support a local high school basketball sectional in your area. Will be a lot of fun. Nothing like postseason basketball at the high school level. I'll be headed up to Seymour later this evening to check out both of those first round games. And it's almost a situation where, you know, I don't expect much fireworks on the court tonight. We think Jeff and Floyd Central will easily cruise to wins, but you just kind of want to be there. You kind of want to be part of it. You want to watch those games unfold, even if, you know, there's no promise of them being a great competitive game. That's just kind of how important postseason basketball is, at least to me. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Lots of IU basketball, specifically IU versus Wisconsin matchups and talk coming up here in just a moment. And we'll also talk some IU recruiting and other things as well. Stay with us for that. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with me. We're going to take an in-depth look at the IU-Wisconsin game tonight. Big opportunity, Mike, for this team to return home after a tough loss at Iowa. I really felt like in the closing minutes of that game when Indiana extended its lead to 6 points that they might be on their way to a big road victory in conference play, but in part or mainly due to Jordan Bohannon and his deadly shooting, that wasn't the case. So now this team, the chance to bounce back. And I got to believe, Mike, if they come home to Assembly Hall and play the same way they've played with confidence and effort that they have the last two games, they will put themselves in a great place to come out victorious tonight.
Yeah, it's too bad they hadn't played the way they have the last two games of, you know, the prior 10-plus games, because they would have a lot more victories. They just play harder. They've had a boost from the, return to form of Deron Davis. It's making a big difference in the offense, and a little bit of a boost from finally getting Race Thompson back in there. And they've made some lineup changes, going with Deron instead of Justin Smith for big parts of the game and playing Race. It's the effort is better. I think Romeo's played smarter basketball, and Robert Finnessy's gotten a little bit more back to himself after his concussion issues. So. The losses have stayed, but the effort is significantly better. The quality of basketball is better. It's not great, but it has turned in the way that fans are appreciating what they're watching.
We're talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Mike, maybe a thumbnail sketch, an overview of this Wisconsin team, 19-8 as they enter play tonight at Assembly Hall. They're 11-5 in the Big Ten Conference as well. What do you expect from the Badger side of things this evening?
Yeah, much improved over last year. They had some injuries that killed their depth a season ago. In many ways, their season last year was similar to Indiana's this year. They had a couple of guys that are really good, but when you just don't have 8 or 9 reliable players, it catches up with you at the end of games. And this year they've been much healthier. They have their go-to guy still is Ethan Happ inside, but Nate Ruvers has been a big addition. He's one of the guys that was hurt last year. Brad Davidson kind of worked through a shoulder problem, this year now he's healthy and playing at a little bit higher level. And they got back their point guard, Dimitri Grice. He's a very good player, so they really. I've always been kind of viewed as they would definitely get back to the NCAA tournament. That's exactly what's ensued. And they're, a top 4 or 5 Big Ten team, just maybe lacking a really good scoring guard or something that kind of take the pressure off of Happ, but to maybe be a top 3 team. But this is a team that he's easily into the tournament as a top 5, top 6 season. I think they're 22nd in the country right now.
We're talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Big one tonight for Indiana as they host Wisconsin. maybe some of the matchups as well. Specifically, it's always interesting to think about who might guard Juwan Morgan and vice versa, and, of course, Romeo Langford as well.
Yes. You know, that's a good question. I think Khalil Iverson is kind of a really good athlete who's 6'5". He's a guy actually Indiana recruited a little bit. Tom Crean liked him because he was such a raw athlete. He's kind of become a defensive rebounding specialist, only averages 5 points a game. So he could, you know, they can afford for him to get in a little foul trouble, but he has a kind of lateral quickness. I think that would be a good matchup for Romeo. Ethan Happ has always been a difficult guy for Indiana to score against. He really had some great, remember those great games you had against Thomas Bryant? I think that Juwan may be a little bit tougher guard for him, but they have the option of playing Ethan or Nate Rivers, who's 6'10", sophomore, against, I think, Juwan Morgan. So those are the kind of matchups I would anticipate.
We're talking IU hoops with Mike Pegram today. Stepping away from the current state of this team as they head down the stretch of Big Ten conference play, recruiting is something that never stops in college basketball. And in the off season, whenever the season does come to a close, recruiting will take the forefront as far as maybe players moving on. Juwan Morgan, obviously a senior. Romeo Langford expected to head to the NBA. Who knows what other type of movement there could be with a roster. And, you know, you look at transfers nowadays in college basketball, and they really have dominated a lot of the off-season discussion given how many there seem to be and how that's a growing area of the game. But with that said, it's going on right now. Recruiting is going on. Indiana recently, over the weekend, in fact, went down to watch an IMG player in the 2019 class. And before I even – I want to make sure I don't butcher his name too bad. Is it Lester Quinones, or am I saying that wrong?
Quinones.
Okay, Quinones. Before I ask you even about him, because he's a pretty new name, at least to me, your thoughts on IU getting more active maybe with some 2019 guys? Do you think this ties in to the Keon Brooks recruitment at all?
I don't think it ties into the Keon Brooks recruitment. I think it ties more into maybe having more scholarships available and therefore and wanting to address the team needs in outside shooting. I mean, we've talked, you know, ad nauseum this year about this not being a great Indiana, lacking shooting. Lester Quinones is, I think, the second highest ranked point guard on the board that's not committed. Excuse me, scoring guard on the board that's not committed, and he's known to be a very good shooter. And, a week ago I would have said that it's a real long shot situation, but he has made some inroads there. LSU has been, a perceived top school for him, but, Will Wade's in one of the guys getting mentioned with this NCAA inquiry this week. I think there was a big story today or yesterday about that. So there may be an opening there for Indiana to jump in, even though they're in late. There's a JUCO, Sean McNeil, over in Dayton that I think Indiana's started to look into, really some really impressive three-point shooting numbers, averaging 30 points a game, lower-level JUCO, but I watched YouTube highlights, and the kid can really, really shoot the ball. So I think it has more to do. I think when you lose 12 to 13, let's be honest, that does leave to some people that might end up moving on. And so I would anticipate there might be some attrition, early attrition, I should call it, way beyond, Romeo's departure to the NBA, guys leaving for other programs. And that'll lead to maybe some significant roster additions this spring. And so they're definitely doing some due diligence right now on that.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. Sectionals begin tonight. That's always a fun time. And I know you're IU first, but you're a high school guy. You enjoy the high school game as well.
Yeah.
And you get out to a lot of them, specifically when there's an IU target or recruit involved. But any big matchups this week potentially or things you'll be watching in the Indiana high school postseason related to some of the IU players? I know Trace Jackson Davis, Armon Franklin, their teams gearing up for potential runs in the 4A tournament. But what will you be watching from an IU perspective in this upcoming state tournament?
Well, Armand and Cathedral have an awful difficult sectional. If you get up in Carmel and have to play Lawrence North, and Lawrence Central is a really, really good team. Warren Central is there. I think that's the week one. Watch is what happens with Indiana signee. Armand Franklin and his team, because he's got a very good team and he's had an outstanding season. But because of the schedule, I mean, they're still 18-5, I believe. I'm thinking of the Lawrence North sectional. His team plays right off the bat. They have to play the host Lawrence North, which has some really good prospects, and then they have to, if they win that, they play the state champion Warren Central. And then probably the favorite is Lawrence Central, 20 wins. And, they have a player that's already committed to Nebraska. So that's going to be really interesting week one. I'll probably be in here in Columbus watching Anthony Leal from Bloomington South. And then Trace Jackson Davis, I think his sectional is at Center Grove, his home court. So he may have a little bit of advantage and may be able to get to the regionals once again.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. Always a special week when the postseason begins, and, of course, the opportunity this postseason to follow Trace Jackson Davis and his Center Grove team. I think they've got not a lot of challenge in that sectional. They'll definitely, I think, be challenged at the regional round, which would take place at Seymour. But when you've got Trace Jackson Davis and a couple good guards to put with him, you can be competitive. I don't know that they've had the season that everyone expected. Center Grove maybe too, but Trace has been solid. Is he still the front runner as we enter this tournament for the Mr. Basketball race?
Yeah, I believe so. I think Harmon's had a pretty good season, but Trace Jackson Davis is the only McDonald's All-American. He's put really good numbers up throughout the year. He took Center Grove to a nice state tourney run last year before, they lost to New Albany pretty far into it. So I would think that he's a heavy favorite to win it. So that's significant for Indiana to pull in a Mr. Basketball 2 years in a row.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike, thanks for the chat today. Big night of basketball with Indiana hosting Wisconsin. We'll have that game at 9 o'clock, pregame at 8 p.m., and, of course, high school basketball as well. We'll actually have the first game from Seymour tonight, Jeffersonville versus Seymour. Mike, thanks for the chat. We'll catch up with you again next week. Plenty to talk about.
Yes, there will be. Look forward to it.
All right. Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, always with us. So a busy night of basketball on the Big X Sports Radio. Good luck to all of the area teams and coaches and players. We've got some really good coaches and some really good programs here, and unfortunately they can't all be successful. There will be somebody eliminated tonight that you think would maybe have a chance to advance on at least a game or two, but that won't be the case. So congratulations to a lot of people on a great season. There have been some terrific storylines to follow. I want to remind you that Kinsey Winstead, who is formerly of the Courier-Journal, writing now, covering Southern Indiana high school basketball and beyond at the HoosierHillsHoops.com website. He's had a number of feature stories and good stuff to read here on this sectional week as his coverage there begins, kind of in partnership with the Big X Sports Radio. But nice story on Kobe Barnes as his team will begin sectional play tonight. He's got a feature on Jeffersonville with a lot of talk about standout junior Trey Coleman. It will go online later today. And recently, yesterday, a great story on Cade Badger, who's been a high-scoring player for Henryville. We'll see if he can lead the Henryville Hornets to an upset bid tonight as they take on one of the sectional favorites in 2A in Paola. He also did a story earlier in the week on Isaac Hibbard, the former New Albany player who's finding great success at Hanover. They won a conference championship and found out their destination in the NCAA Division III tournament on Monday as well. And there's a lot of other stuff planned for this week in this special kickoff week of high school coverage. He's also got a really good preview on all four of the local sectionals as well, so you may want to check those out. Thanks so much for being with us today. Again, high school basketball tonight at 6, IU basketball tonight at 8. We're back tomorrow at 11. Basketball crazy this week. We're going to have Jim Shannon and Todd Sturgeon on with us later in the week to preview that big potential North New Albany Floyd Central game on Friday night that we all think will come to fruition. So stay with us for a great week. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.